The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communication Journal.
Good morning, Just. Yep, coming back to Earth after a fine bank holiday weekend. It was it's just sunshine. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Being
outside in the sun and, wonderful.
I had some friends come down and I drank too much, basically. You know, it's all my head's been in a fog. I haven't drunk for the last 2 days, but, I mean, for Friday and Saturday I did. And just too much, you know. Sometimes I think we just shouldn't have any time off.
I know.
Edge of the grindstone all the time. Yeah. Because you have two long bank holidays. It's too long. Too much, you know.
Aside from getting out on the bike loads of times over the weekend, I also went to watch my son play at Brighton Hove Albion's Amex Stadium on Saturday afternoon. There was a charity match there, raising money for the Anthony Nolan Trust, which is a very good cause. A great friend of my son's went together with a bunch of guys, and they went to play in the stadium. They were sort of piped on with the Sussex by the Sea anthem, and it was great. It just sat in the stands and watched them play. And Tom said when he came off, he'd forgotten all about he got all these muscles in his body that he just didn't use anymore, because of course he'd stopped playing football a while back, and he cycles a lot, but he trained up. But it was good to see them, because a lot of these lads we used to manage in the football team in Brighton years ago, so they hadn't seen play together on the pitch for ages, but seeing them at the Albion ground was a bit special.
It's nice, isn't it? And the weather's there, that's the good thing, isn't it?
It makes
or breaks bank holidays of weather sometimes. Okay, well, let's talk about some stocks and shares. The market's a bit miserable this morning, isn't it? There's a lot of stuff going down, FTSE's down.
Yeah, it's just a bit flat, isn't it? It's just more of the same, really. I just wanted to pick up on Caden Spindles. Of course, we have spoken about Caden on many occasions, and I know you've interviewed Kieran Mazzari, the chief executive, on many occasions. So Caden shares currently trading at just 9.7p, market cap of 16.7 million, have been as high as 17.5p, and slightly lower to where we are now. So really bumpy along the bottom here, but there's been a lot of news flow from the company over the past few days. Cadence has a portfolio of investments. Its flagship asset, of course, is the Imapa iron ore project in Brazil, which it owns 30% of, the entire mine, the railway, the port at Santana is being recommissioned, there are projections for it to return to the sort of production that we saw back, exceeding the production that we saw back when Anglo American ran the mine, and that was valued on Anglo's books at $600 million. So potentially it's hugely exciting once this comes back on stream. Cadence announced last Friday that it had raised or it had put in place money to complete the DFS. It had gone into a loan facility with Riverfort Global Capital, $2 million initially, further $8 million available over the next 3 years. And of course, that there are fees in exchange for that, shares issued to the company and warrants as well. But those warrants are 13.5p, so there is, I believe, a lot more value to come. But of course, this is once the mine gets through the DFS and then re-enters production. And it's not like you complete the DFS, then you have to go and build the infrastructure. The infrastructure is already there, so it's a question of renewing, refurbishing, and then plugging everything back in again. The mineral resource estimate has also been increased as well from the previous levels. So it's very much all systems go there. But Cadence is has a range of investments. It has a holding, of course, in the Sonora Lithium Project. It has holdings in two companies operating there, Mexilit and Megalit, which, of course, is in Mexico. And that's been quiet for a while, but we expect to see further developments on that. It has a stake in European Metals Holdings. EMH, of course, is the epic code, and European Metals owns and operates along with CEZ, the East European utility, owns and operates the Sinovec lithium and tin project. And again, last week, European Metals announced that they had completed extraction tests for the lithium the lithium recovery process, and they'd achieved exceptional extraction results, outstanding, and they the results just further underline the commercial viability of the Sinovec operations going forward. So again, Cadence have 6.8% of European Metals Holdings. Cadence also holds 8.7% of a company called Evergreen Lithium in Australia. And Evergreen is just listed on the ASX under the epicode EG1. Evergreen owns a number of lithium projects. Owns the Litchfield project, which is close to Core Lithium's project there, which is a producing lithium project. And the several announcements from Evergreen last week in terms of developments there. We heard that geochemical anomalies indicate that, as well as the lithium targets the company already has at Litchfield, it's identified the potential for lithium. For cesium and tantalum at the asset as well, so it's identifying rare earths there in addition to lithium. Another project the company has is the Kenny Lithium Project, and again some soil surveys were undertaken there, and those surveys also revealed rare earth cerium and lanthanum anomalies within the test samples. So again, further good news, but of course the primary focus for the company is Amapa, and that took a big step forward last Friday. That has not yet been reflected in the share price, and I'm astonished that we're still seeing a company that owns 30% of an entire iron ore mine, railway, port infrastructure, which is nearing resumption of production, is still valued at this level. And I think there's going to be a major reset in the coming months as we sort of move towards completion of the DFS and back into production. So one to watch, certainly.
Yeah, it's one to watch there. I think probably the financing probably got some people, you know, worried a little bit on there, I suppose. But yes, huge potential upside there, isn't there, in the Mapper? You know?
It's massive. If you go to the Cadence website and look at the pictures and the scale of a Mapper. Follow the company's Twitter feed. You'll see lots of pictures and there of the asset. And I also interviewed Kieran directly from the Santa Ana mine last year. And Kieran was just talking about the scale of the operations, but also what's been done there already. You know, the reconstruction that's been completed, the fact that so much has already been done. You know, this isn't something that is jammed tomorrow. It's actually happening right now, so the reconstruction is already taking place, and they've already refurbished so much already.
Yeah. Okay. What's next, Al?
Okay, this is a company that came to my attention recently called Parkmead Group. PMG is the epic code. Now, Parkmead has a series of assets in oil and gas. It's a UK and Netherlands focused energy group, with headquartered in Aberdeen in Scotland. And it has several sort of branches of activities. Netherlands Gas, it has interests in four primary assets there: Gisbrook, Brakel, Grulo and Diva West. It has UK oil and gas assets. If you go to the Parkmead website, you'll see those laid out for centre of operations across the North Sea. You've got UK Western Shetland, which is furthest north, the Moray Firth asset, Central North Sea, where in fact there is drilling on an asset there, which the company is very excited about, that we'll know more about in the coming months. So overall, there are 21 exploration production blocks across the UK and Netherlands. In addition to that, the company has made moves into renewable energy with its Kempstone Hill wind farm. And this is sited about 4 miles south of Aberdeen. And it's the company's, I suppose, the first operational step into renewable energy. But already with the interim results that the company announced earlier this year, it generated record revenues due to its exposure to, of course, strong wholesale electricity prices. But the company also announced a very strong set of results overall. Revenues are up 140% to 11.1 million. The EBITDA trebled to 7.9 million, but just as it trebled, the Dutch government decided to issue a windfall tax charge. So what that did, of course, it lopped 4 million sterling off that number, and it resulted at the end of the year in a net loss of 1.2 million versus what would have been a £400,000 loss in the prior year period. So I mean, the company is really making progress. It has a future opportunities arm where it's looking and actively assessing a number of other new and renewable energy projects. And of course, given the success of Kempstone Windhill Farm, I'm sure we're going to see more coming on stream in the very near future. There was a note published by FinCap, which gave the company a very strong write-up. That came out at the start of May, FinCap has a target price for the group of 167p versus where the shares currently are, which is 22p. So there's an awful lot of upside there. Interesting to note as well that there are major shareholders involved with the company. Stonehage Investments owned 10%. This morning they've announced they've increased their stake to 11%. And the company, of course, is headed up by the eponymous Tom Cross, who is executive chairman, real driving force behind the business. He's done a lot of work in the industry in previous years, worked for Conoco, Thompson, North Sea Oil. He was chief executive of Dana Petroleum prior to its sale, and has over the years been energy advisor to the BBC. So this is a company that it's been as high as 80p on the year, as low as 20p. But I think given that target price and the way the group's performing now, I don't think it's going to be at this level for much longer.
Yeah, is the market getting you down now? Is it getting, does it annoy you?
It's frustrating because, there are some great companies out there, and the markets are just very quiet. They're not reflecting, or they in no way reflect, I think, the performances of some companies out there. So I think the thing is, as investors, what we've got to do is look out these good companies, particularly the ones that have no debt and, they have strong assets and they're generating cash. And sooner, at some point, the mark-to-market will change. The valuation of the company will be reflected in the share price, and we'll see strong progress. But we are of course still in go away May syndrome. Come back on St. Ledger's Day, so I'd expect to see.
We've been going away for 2 years though now.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Indices, basically 631 days since the high on AIM.
It does feel that way, doesn't it? It really does feel that way.
That way.
Yeah, it is that way. Guys, all I can say is hold the faith. I mean, you know, we're all in the same boat. You know, just you're invested, I'm invested, and I see real value in this market. And certainly judging by the amount of people visiting the investment shows I've been to this year and late last year, there's an awful lot of appetite there. Investors are seeing value in the markets at the moment. So at some point, that value will be reflected. There'll be a sea change in the global economy, and some factors will come into play, particularly in the commodity sector. I think you know, we're seeing a lot of commodity companies really undervalued given the scale of their activities. So that valuation gap will be addressed at some point. But someone once said, "You've got to be in it to win it."
Yeah. When do you think it will be addressed, to that valuation gap? Because it seems like it's been largely unaddressed for a long time now. And I just think, unless we get inflation coming down, you know, core inflation coming down in a trend, nothing's going to happen. The central banks are not going to move, I don't think.
Inflation and macro uncertainty is a major factor in the uncertainty going forward. But once there's tangible evidence that inflation really is back under control, and I think there was some positivity in regard to the fact that inflation appeared to be getting under control. But now, of course, it does appear that interest rates may have to continue rising. So I think that's put a dampener on things. But the longer the markets, again, you know, maybe that's the first sign of badness. Someone also once said the markets can remain irrational for longer than you can remain solvent. So that's also a consideration as well. The longer we're in these markets, that there are great stocks to be had out there. There are some great value companies. Just look at the companies that are growing their assets, growing the business, and generating plenty of cash. And I think at some point the value will out. But there are also companies in this market, and we've seen this before. Just, you know, we had those famous Thomas Cook conversations a few years ago, and all the rest of it. There are companies that get marked down and then bounce back. So from a trader's standpoint, there are opportunities to get in and get out and make profit on the sharp movement of the stock for whatever fundamentals are driving that stock. But that's not a play for widows and orphans. You know, you've got to be quick. So there are still opportunities for traders, but I think for long term investors, it's down to really good stock picking.
At the moment, there are some companies rallying, but the majority, like it's hard work. It's just you can have a company rise on some good news there that seems to be sustainable, and all of a sudden just comes back and people sell into it, and you've got that, you know, bear market feel about everything where people, you know, want to take money quickly, you know.
Well, the thing is, you know, you invest your money, you think, well, I'll take the money out in a few years, and if the money goes nowhere, then there is a bit of a blip in the stock, then that's why people sell into strength, because they need the money. I don't think it's because they're just, well, it, or it may be that they're just completely fed up with the fact that nothing's happened for a long time. But of course, Sock's law dictates that as soon as you sell, then up it goes. But it is a tough market, yeah. But so your stock picking has to be bang on the money.
Anything else, Al?
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight, and again, you know, again, a dormant opportunity, perhaps. This company came to market about a month ago, Seed Capital Solutions, SCSP is the EPIC code. Nothing has happened since the company came to market. It listed...
That's good. So what is it? S what?
SCSP is the EPIC code.
SCSP.
Yep. So the company's been formed for the purpose of acquiring companies that have strong ESG credentials. Of course, ESG is the byword. Now, it's a huge market, environmental, social, and governance. It's a very important part and cornerstone of company or corporate operating values nowadays. But it's a huge market. So there's... the growth in ESG focus opportunities is expected to grow a compound average growth rate of something like 13% over the next few years. Institutional investments expected to increase by 84% to some $34 trillion by 2026, and that's 21.5% of all assets under management. So it's a massively important part of work environment, corporate environment going forward. So Seed Capital has been set up to invest into businesses operating in that sector. Of course, they appointed Chief Exec John Zorbas a while ago. We've not heard anything about what the company's going to do as of yet, but the company's there. The share price hasn't moved since it came to market. It's currently trading at 0.88 of a pence, giving it a market capitalization of 1.62p. So I'd suggest that there could be an opportunity here, maybe just to pick up a few shares and stick the certificate into the drawer, and you know, all of a sudden it could explode into life. This is how these sort of companies can create value. But obviously, you know, we've not heard anything about the type of investments the company are making yet. So you'll speculation. It is pure speculation, yes. But the fact is, it's there as a listed entity.
It is there, yes. That wouldn't even be speculation. Then that'd be just. If it wasn't there, it's there.
Of course, I'm just merely trying to. Trying to raise investor attention in regard to this company, because somebody might think it's worth a bunt, and then who knows? I mean, you know, a bit further down the road, they might decide to change direction, and the company could be a cash show for something else. You just don't know, do you? But that's the gamble.
It's a gamble, isn't it?
Really? It's a gamble. It's a gamble. It is indeed, yes. But it's there, so...
It's there. That's it.
Do your own research. You know as much as I know, but it's a listed vehicle out there, and you may have a view, or you may not.
And the investment thesis here is that it's there.
Okay? It's there.
So it's there, it's listed, it's there. That's it. Do your research.
That's it. I'm done. Yep. No. I think just you've got to look at the reason these companies come to market.
Try and make money. For who though?
Well, to try to make money to create an investment vehicle to invest into ESG is a sound idea. But as I say, I mean, it's come to market. Nothing's happened yet. It could explode into life, or it could sit there for another 6 months. Who knows?
Yeah, but if I went on Dragon's Den, Al, and said, yes, I'm looking to raise, you know, £100,000 because I'm here. That's my business. So yeah. I'm here. I'm willing to take your money. That's it. I'm here. I think you'd get many of them saying they're out, if not all of them saying they're out and laughing me out of the room.
I'm out. Yeah, that's it.
There we are then. All right. Well, thanks for letting us know what's there and what's not there. Next week we do things that are not there, maybe.
Well, it's there. It's there. But, you know, Parkmead, I think, looks very good value right now. And I think Cadence looks really good value. So there we go.
And they're there also.
They are there too. Yeah. Yeah. As are you and I, Jess. Or is this...
just about, I think. Bloody hell. Speak to you next week, Al.
Cheers, Jess. Speak to you next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.